Welcome, I'm your host Reesh from the Internet Herald. This is the Reesh Show. Thank you for joining us. This is our pilot episode. Hopefully, I get to make more of these because, you know, it's fun. But we'll see what happens. The ratings will decide my fate. Today's show, we are going to be going over an essay I wrote. It's called Motivation Miner. It's on Medium if you would like to check it out. I will leave a link in the description below. Motivation Miner, the boons of practice and their relationship with motivation. Sometimes, a fire emerges from deep within that self. A hunger, a desire, a need. One cannot help themselves but be lost in the fervor. Hours rushing by in minutes, time becomes irrelevant. Basic human needs become irrelevant, replaced by only the need of the fire. As quickly as it comes, the fire fizzles out. In the same flurry it came in with. Motivation. It's a mythical beast. Alright, so what do I mean by that? Well, how many times have you wanted to do something or you gotta do something and you really don't want to do it? So you go on YouTube or Facebook or wherever and you look up motivational video, motivational quote, trying to pump yourself up, and you get pumped up, you get fired up. And then when you start doing the work, it kind of starts fizzling out. And then suddenly you're back to where you started. Well, I know people call that motivation or motivation problems or whatever. But here's the thing, that initial spark, that initial burst of energy, that desire to just do something, I don't think that's motivation. I do not consider it to be motivation. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, here's the thing, right? If you're motivated to do something, you're gonna do it no matter what. Even when you don't want to, you're still going to do it. Wait, isn't that the definition of practice? Well, I will get to that as we read the essay further, but real quick, so that we can recap the intro. In the intro of this essay, I'm talking about what I would consider the spark. And the spark is inspiration, not motivation. So when you hop on that YouTube and you watch, look up, you know, motivation video to pump yourself up, what's really happening is that you're not getting motivated, you're getting inspired, right? But inspiration is a big difference. Inspiration is very different from motivation, from the actual practice of things. All right, let's go a bit further into the essay. How does one go about capturing and taming this creature? There is no way that one will capture the spontaneous motivation, or at least the probability is very low. And when I'm talking about spontaneous motivation, I'm referring to inspiration. If one wants to capture this beast, it will take rigorous practice. You love something, you want to be the best, you want it to be your life and career. Then practice every day and publish your practice for criticism and feedback. Every day practice will build tacit knowledge. Criticism and feedback are catalysts for reflection, and reflection will result in improvement. Okay. So let me explain that part before I read the rest of the essay. Basically, what I'm trying to say here is that motivation is practice, right? Let me give you an example. You want to put food in your belly. You want to put clothes on your back. You want to put a roof on your head. To do all these things, you need money. And you're going to get money through work, through a job, through a business, or whatever, right? Even when you don't feel like going to work, even when you do not want to go and, you know, do your business or whatever it is that you do to make money, you're going to still do it. Because if you don't do it, you're not making money. You're not going to be able to provide for yourself or your family. You're motivated to make money. You're motivated to work. You're motivated to go to your job. Even if you hate it, you still go. And that is motivation. Also, here's the thing. To do something even when you don't want to, That is practice. To do something even when you don't want to, that is motivation. Therefore, practice is motivation. All right, time to read the rest of the essay, where I go a little bit into my own personal experience and how I kind of realized this. I write and publish an essay every day. Even if the day is horrid and the essay worse, I still write it. Do my best to make it as great as I can and publish it. I've written more essays I despise than essays I like. I do not love a single essay I've written so far, but I know I'm getting better. But why? Why am I doing this? Why the zeal? My goal is to write a fictional epic. A great epic. Something I can be proud of. I have tried writing it many times since I was about 13. After a few pages, the spontaneous motivation, the inspiration would escape. Thus, after years of failure, two realizations were made. First, motivation is practiced regularly. Second, practice allows for experimentation, and experimentation prevents burnouts. All right. The first step is the most crucial. The moment you feel that spark, that hunger, set a standard, a ritual, regular practice. Determination drives motivation. These essays are my daily practice, my determination to achieve the goal of writing an epic. The epic will be slowly written over time with many revisions. Thus, the daily essays help build tacit knowledge and allow reflection. It is these daily gains which will make the epic something to be proud of. Practice is where growth is made. The final product is the magnum opus of the practice leading up to it. Okay, real quick, let me explain what tacit knowledge is, because a lot of folks don't exactly know what that is, right? So tacit is spelled T-A-C-I-T, tacit knowledge, and it's basically the intrinsic experiential knowledge. There's something called explicit knowledge, right? So explicit knowledge is kind of like what you learn in the classroom, right? Like, say when I first started playing soccer, right? Or football for my European. When I first started playing soccer, I knew the rules, right? I knew what a corner was. I knew what a throw-in was. I knew what a free kick was, so on and so forth. Right? That was the explicit knowledge, right? Like, the game is 90 minutes. There's a kickoff at the very beginning. The ball goes out of bounds. It's either a throw-in. If it goes beyond the goal line, then it's a corner. And, you know, you try to score goals to win the game, right? That's all experiential knowledge, right? That's what you're being taught at, like, school. Now, tacit knowledge is knowledge, but like the experiential, right? What you learn from experience, the knowledge you get from the experience. So, for example, if I want to make a pass which is 30 yards away, the way I touch the ball is going to be a lot different from, say, a pass which is 20 yards away, right? There's a certain way to just wrap your foot around that ball. There's a certain touch, a certain finesse to it. And that art is not something which can be taught to you, you know? It's something which you develop through practice, through repetition, through doing it over and over and over again. For my non-soccer or non, you know, association football playing audience, think about a server at a restaurant. So here's the thing, right? When servers first start serving, there's a certain art to it which takes time to learn. If you go out to eat and you meet your server, first thing which most servers will do is they come up to you and they introduce themselves. Now here's the thing, if the server smiles, the server has experience. If the server does not smile, generally speaking, they're probably not that experienced, because through experience as a server, you learn that if you want to make that good tip money, if you want to actually get paid, if you want to give your customers a great experience, you want to greet them with a lot of energy, with positive vibes. And the best way to do that is to just show up, smile, say, hello, my name is blah, blah, I'll be serving you today. There's also other tricks which servers learn. For example, you might have noticed that when your glass is about halfway empty, that's when suddenly a server comes by and just fills your glass up. That's not something you just learn right away from the first day of the job. You learn that over time. You realize, oh, well, I need to fill up that customer's, that table's glass when it's halfway empty, because it's gonna be, you know, the best experience. You know, they can continue on with their conversation, continue on with whatever they're doing, and I just come in quickly, just, you know, fill it up, you know, give them a smile and head out. It's gonna keep everything convenient, keep everything smooth. Now that knowledge to go fill up that glass while it's halfway empty, that's built over because of experience. That is tacit knowledge. You know, the smiling when you're greeting your guest, that is tacit knowledge. There's a certain art to everything. Everything, really. Even if you're an IT guy, even if you're, an accountant, there's an art to everything, and you master that art over time through experience, and that is tacit knowledge. You build that tacit knowledge. And for those of you who want to explore this deeper, I recommend reading Michael Polanyi's work. So Michael Polanyi, he's a Polish chemist, and he was really the guy to explore this idea of tacit knowledge. He's a chemist and a philosopher. This idea kind of came about because in philosophy, there is this question of, is anything real? So usually we agree across the board that the mind is real because it's a thinking object, and you can say, okay, my mind is real because it thinks, it can perceive things. Well, because it thinks. Perception is another whole different thing. So a lot of philosophers say, well, I know my mind is real, but how can I know that everything else around me is real beyond my mind? And this leads you down a rabbit hole where you just go, well, nothing is real, except for maybe my mind. So Michael Polanyi, his argument to this was basically saying, look, there are certain things that you just know because of experience. I've lived however many years, and I know the world around me is real. I know my fingers are real. I know my feet are real. I know that this mic in front of me is real because of experience, because I've been around for a long time enough. I've, you know, sensed this thing for a number of years. I've sensed my hands since I was born. I've a feeling in them. I've experienced with them, a lot of experience. And that's how I know it's real. That tacit knowledge allows me to know if something is real, how something actually is. So that's kind of where this whole idea originated from. I recommend reading it further for anyone who's interested. All right, let's go back into the essay. Practice allows for experimentation. Working on one idea for too long will burn a person up. It will bore someone eventually, regardless of passion. Humans are creatures of change. We require it. Changes in diet, changes in ideas, changes in surroundings, it helps a human grow and develop. It provides satisfaction to an extent. And pause on that real quick, because now I real quick want to, you know, go on this little side tangent and explain this. Humans actually evolve to be creatures of change. Like, that's what we actually came out of, right? Like some creatures evolve to live in the water at a certain temperature with a certain pH. Some creatures evolve to just live in the trees in a certain climate at a certain elevation. Well, humans evolved to change itself. So back thousands of years ago, like 200,000 years ago, or before that actually, right? Humans evolved, Homo sapiens, us, evolved 200,000 years ago, but, you know, a little bit before that. Africa used to be a big old forest, a big old rainforest, where at least where at the location where we evolved, right? The Sahara used to be a rainforest. The Sahel was a rainforest. There was a, you know, just jungle, kind of like the Amazon, pretty much. And that's where humans, the Homo genus, originated from. And then suddenly something happened. The climate started shifting. The Sahara became a desert. And beyond the Sahara, the Sahel, which is now grasslands, right? It used to be, but, you know, it used to be a jungle, but now it became grasslands, and humans were still living there. And then our ancestors were the ones who evolved to live in this new grassland. They became bipedal, so they can run and walk on two legs, and their endurance increased. They developed things like sweating and, you know, loss of fur on most of our body. I mean, we still have fur; it's just much more sparse and much more smaller. Right? We're one of the few creatures to sweat. I think, we might be the only creature to sweat. I don't know about that. I'm going to have to check on that. And a bunch of other different changes happen, right? We begin using tools more often eventually. We, you know, our brains got bigger and more developed. We started cooking. We started putting on clothes. Basically, we evolved to adapt to change itself. That's why we're such an intelligent creature, you know? That intelligence, you need a lot of intelligence to be able to adapt to change itself. And the evidence of that is that we are no longer just confined to the grasslands of the Sahel. Humans can be found in every single environment except for the Antarctic. And even then, we have people who live in the Antarctic now, you know, year-round. A few crazy people. No, just researchers. But humans, we are creatures of change. We need it. We require it. And here's the thing about practice. When you practice something every single day, even when you don't want to, and you don't change anything, you don't experiment, it becomes very boring. And when you're bored as a human, the quality of your product, the quality of your service, the quality of your work will suffer. So it's very important to create some sort of change to stimulate yourself, really, to not get bored, to keep producing that high quality. Anyways, let me go back into the essay now. Thus, in practice, one can test new ideas or create an original. Practicing and perfecting through experimentation leads to healthy changes and growth. Furthermore, it is fun. The most fun is in experimenting in one's passion. To grow one's passion, to achieve a goal, one must be willing to experiment. Practice is the lab for experimentation. It is the source of real satisfaction. It is the coals of the fire. I'll give you an example of a little bit of experimentation. When I started doing this daily essay thing for 1 year, originally I was like, okay, I'm just going to write essays. But it got boring quite fast. Like after like a week or so, I was like, geez, am I really going to be writing essays every single day? I mean, I'm a student. I write essays for classes already. And now I'm just writing essays for a hobby all the time. So then I started experimenting. Then I started writing poems as well. First I wrote one poem, I liked it. Then I wrote a second one, and I liked the process again. It's very fun. It's a cool art. And I wouldn't have seriously considered it unless I practiced. So practicing allowed me to discover something new. It allowed me to become a more versatile writer. And it's improved me a lot, right? Because this experimentation has improved me a lot. I'll give you another example. Back when I was in high school, I was a wrestler, right? In wrestling, you're asked, hey, like generally speaking, the coaches will tell you to experiment a bit. Like, as you wrestle, you know, you kind of figure out things to, like, once you understand how your body works on the mat, you just kind of figure out things as you just go along. Not every single move or technique that you do is taught to you. Some of those things are just spontaneous. And it comes from practicing every day and experimenting every day. Or, you know, a little bit of experimentation here and there, right? Because when you're competing, you're trying to win. You kind of want to follow the roadmap a bit more when you're competing for medals. But in the off season, right, for example, you would experiment a lot more. And it's how you really get better, right? In wrestling, you get better by experimenting, by trying out new moves, by increasing your toolkit. And you experiment and practice, and then you practice that experiment over and over again until you perfect it, and then you practice it in smaller matches until you perfect it, doing it in a match, then you just start trying it in a bigger match. And it's that experimentation during practice which actually really creates the champions. It separates the best from the rest. You know, the guys who go out and win medals are the ones who have a really nice big toolkit. Usually, obviously there's going to be exceptions, but I mean, there's an exception to everything, but generally speaking, practice, experimentation in practice makes perfect, really. This essay exists to motivate me. It is my goal, right? So I wrote this essay because I did not want to write anymore, but I was like, you know what, let me just write something to motivate myself, right? So this essay exists to motivate me, really. It's for me. I am the audience. If it inspires you, great. But each person must find their own call. one must mine deep within the self to acquire it. My coal is of the highest quality for my fire, but my temperature and environment is different from yours. Your coal is best suited for your fire. So go mining. Mine deep. Mine with bravery. There will be earthquakes and you will get buried. But be an immortal and keep going. As long as a person is on this earth, they are immortal within themselves. An immortal miner digging for the gems which exist in the depths of self. Motivation is coal. Coal which burns the torch which allows a miner to go deeper and find the diamonds. Good luck, miner. Go deep. Do not stop. Take risks. Jump into the chasms and never come back. Keep digging, you immortal. Keep digging. So, I mean, the last paragraph is pretty much just a big old metaphor saying that, hey, like, this is kind of my thing, right? This essay exists to motivate me. You have to find your own fuel. You have to find your own coal. And really what I'm trying to say is that you need to set your own goal. Set your own goal. Make sure your goal is something which is measurable, something which is realistic, something which is time-bound. And then set up a practice, set up a schedule, set up a ritual so you can continue working towards that goal every day. Or if not every day, then, you know, on a schedule, basically, consistently. Right, so set up a goal and then set up a schedule or a ritual or some way for you to consistently work towards that goal, to consistently practice. Now, real quick, back to when I was talking about how to set a goal, make sure that your goal is time-bound, make sure your goal is realistic, make sure your goal is measurable. Right, I'll give you an example of that. So this whole, you know, writing every single day thing, when I set this goal, I said, I'm going to write every single day for one whole year. Okay, so I'm time-bounding it by 1 year. Now, in 1 year, there are 365 days, and I'm writing every single day. So therefore, in 1 year, there should be 365 published works on my Medium page. All right, so that's my measure. And realistic, I enjoy writing. I know I can do this. I have a computer to write on. I have internet to write on, right? So I know this is going to be a realistic thing. So pretty much, if as long as you set up a goal which follows at least those three constraints, and then you set up a schedule, and you set up some sort of consistent ritual so you can continue to practice and work towards that goal every day, that in itself, that whole process is motivation. Now, that might not be the dictionary definition of motivation, but this is not really an exploration into the dictionary. This is an exploration into the mindset which I have come to realize. And maybe that mindset will work for you. Maybe not. Maybe you'll have something else. Feel free to share what you have and your idea, you know, in the comments section of the YouTube. And if you're just listening to this on one of the podcast platforms, I guess you can try to email the Internet Herald. I'll ask the editor if he can put that down there. But thank you for listening to this. Thank you for listening to the pilot episode of the Reese Show from the Internet Herald. I really enjoyed doing this. Thank you for listening. Please follow the Internet Herald across social media. They're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Discord, and Reddit. And if anywhere else I've missed, it's going to be in the description, so you can check it out. You can follow me on Medium to keep up to date with my daily writings. It's just rish-chaudhary.medium.com. I'll have it in the description as well, the link. Thank you. Once again, thank you for listening. Happy Movember. That's what it is. Happy Movember. And I hope to see you again. Thank you. Once again, have a great day. Ourselves to live it. Yeah. I love you, baby. Though I can't command it. I want to squeeze your sugar till you tell me that you just can't stand. When we're apart, you know I'm driven to distraction. I get a heavy heart.